Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Today, it's Monday. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. I'm your host. And we are here from 7 until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we're just here to start your week off with the mindfulness stress relief session. Earth Day, birthday, born day. If you're celebrating a birthday, lots of birthdays this month. All the Libras in the house, happy Earth Day, birthday, born day to you. And let us also keep those in prayer, the sick and shut in and the forgotten and the non-believers. Everybody needs prayer right about now. Today in the news, today is the last day of the forgiveness for the student loan. And you need to go to studentaid.com. Saw it this morning, and if you've got a student loan and you're thinking about trying to have it forgiven, then you need to check out studentaid.com. Student aid, studentaid.com. If you're listening online this morning, you'd like to join the conversation after our 7:30 break, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. Excuse me. And you can join us on our social media pages, which is Facebook and YouTube, Higher Learning TV Show. So be sure and put your comments in wherever you are calling from. We would love to know that, okay? As you're headed out and about this morning, you can expect some craziness. It's your regular crazy Monday morning madness out in the streets. So as we take a look, excuse me, at the roadways, traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you are a business owner, entrepreneur, and you have needs, like you shop at the big box, Walmart, Target, all of that, go to itex.com and you can get $100 just for signing up if you mention the promo code ZELDA, Z-E-L-D-A. Thank you, Rich Piggy. Always giving praise to the ancestors, those who came before us and made our way possible. Rich Piggy was one of my instructors at Columbia College before he made his transition. Anyway, it's in the upper 50s today. Going to get close to 70. Lots of sunshine. Almost 70 today. 69, 70, same thing. And the rest of the week will be warm. Sort of, kind of. If you call 70 warm, I call that warm. But it will be a midday rain today. So if you're headed out and about, you might want to carry your umbrella, galoshes, or whatever. It might be nice, but you still need to take something with you. Excuse me. No reported delays on Metro or CTA, but there is foggy if you're driving out this morning, so take your time. No reported delays on O'Hare flights, but on Midway there have been 47 cancellations due to the fog. So do take your time if you're headed out this morning. As we take a look at the expressways, inbound on the Kennedy is 38 minutes. Outbound, it's 25 minutes. Eastbound 8094 on the shoulder is blocked due to an accident, so expect delays there. As we take a look at the Edens inbound, it's 2821 on the reverse. Inbound on the Eisenhower, 45 minutes, going up to an hour. There's always a mess on the Eisenhower. 25 on the outbound on the Stevenson, 32, bumper to bumper, and 8 on the outbound on Dan Ryan. 95th to the loop, your usual delays. It is 18 minutes in, 15 out. On the Bishop Ford, it's 13 in and 11 out. And DuSavo, Lakeshore Drive, it is 11 minutes inbound and 10 minutes on the reverse. And this is traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. And remember to set those DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. And 24/7 on our web, higherlearningnetwork.org. Jody Susan, Grand Rising, my sister. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And my other sister from another mister, Grand Rising Queen, looking forward to the trick-or-treat information. Yeah, because we've been tricked, and we are the treat. Don't even know it. Anywho, I digress. I just wanted to share that with you. Be sure and go to diabeticdonut.com. If you even think you're a diabetic, you see what I'm drinking this morning? Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale. It works out. If I reverse type 2 but diabetes, anybody can. And my tea, too. Don't forget about the tea. If you're listening online, you want to join the conversation, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. How was your weekend? What did you do? Well, I spent the weekend at my best friend for life, who's no longer with us. You've been heard me talking about her all week. Last month, we were celebrating the homegoing of Deborah Ann Wright Smith. And we went to what we call it, Tony, our homegoing, right? Yeah, so it was a homegoing just this past weekend. And, of course, you know, I had to put it on my blog. So if you want to take a look at my blog, it is there. So I'm going to pull it up just so you can see my blog. The blog has lots of resources, lots of information. Excuse me, and if you don't have the time to look at it, you will at some point, because there's so much information on there, and that's the Deborah Smith Memorial. And yeah, we broadcast it live for those who wasn't able to get there. And that's just the video. And today's show, Trick or Treat, which one are you? Are you the trick or the treat? I don't mean to upset nobody, but it is what it is, okay? So I just wanted to share that with you. She is now resting in peace. And I'm so glad. Special thanks to Pastor Lewis Reeves from Evening Star Missionary Baptist Church, 2050 West 59th Street. Did an excellent job. And her pastor, Pastor Leon, I forgot his last name, from her church in Indiana. You know, it's really hard when you grow up with somebody and you see that you have to put them in the ground. That is just not something that you look forward to. But, you know, that's life. We got to do what we got to do. And at some point, we are all going to make our transition. So we have to keep in mind that life is not forever. So, got somebody in your life that you love, let them know. How about that? Hello, yo. Thank you very much. Yeah, because the rest of the day is not promised. So, you just never know. So, you want to take advantage of the people that are alive in your life and let them know that you love them. Okay? Alrighty, so now it's time for your Monday morning inspiration, and it's taken from Monday, October 31st, from Mike House. Who's Mike House, Bill? So we'll go online, you'll find out who he is, but I'm on his mailing list, and you can too. the only drawback is that you cannot respond. There are so many people, and he does not want to upset his group. And, you know, your phone pinging all day, nobody want to hear that. You got things to do, your phone pinging, you have to look at it. So thank you for saying we don't need to respond. I'm very grateful for that. And it says, God provides the harvest. Excuse me. Now, you know, this is so small. I got to blow this up because this is super small. I need big girl glasses. There you go. Most of life is about sowing and reaping. Either we are planting seeds from aspiration and desires, or we are harvesting from our investment. A line from the Isley Brothers saying, a harvest for the world. It says, all babies together, everyone a seed, half of us are satisfied, half of us in need. God's harvest and feed ourselves. God's harvest season is all the time. Let God in you determine what seeds you should plant. What you harvest tomorrow is a product of what you sow today. Feed yourself with what you want to see blossom and work toward it. I expect a plentiful bounty from the seeds that I have planted. The spirit of harvest is ripe within me. My seeds are ones of faith, not fear. Thank you, zeal in me, through me, as me, around me, and through the Christ within. And so it is. This is the parable the seed is the word of God from St. Luke's 8:11. And that's your Monday morning mindfulness inspiration. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed it. He always sends us nice word for the day. So right about now, what I want to do is Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And you know what that means, right? It's time for you to get comfortable. Sit up straight in your chair, feet flat on the floor, whatever you need. If you're lying in the bed, it's okay too. Just get comfortable. That's all I need you to do. And we're going to inhale to the count of five, hold it, and then exhale to the count of five. Hold it 5 seconds if you can. And why are we doing that? Because this is an empowerment process. The more time that you take in the silence is where the answers come from. Got issues? Get quiet. The answers are waiting, but you can't hear them because, you know, we stuck on the cell phones and all our electronic gadgets. So. But not this morning. This morning we are going to do our Monday morning mindfulness meditations. And you know I'm an advocate for the homeless. And as an advocate for the homeless, we are always looking for ways to raise funds for the homeless. Thank you. Last week we were able to get 20 cases of, not 20, 24. We were able to get cases of butane because you know they need butane and they need tents, the homeless. So we feed them right there on Tent City, in Tent City on displays between Taylor and Roosevelt. They're right next to the BP gas station. Couldn't miss them if you want them. So, as we become still, we empower ourselves by simply doing these affirmations. We inhale affirmations and exhale negative self-talk. So, let us begin the process this morning. Closing your eyes, sitting up straight, and breathing in through the nose, breathing out through the nose. If you want something different, you got to do something different. So doing what you're about to do, breathing, there it is, you will see a different self. Let us begin the process. Inhale deeply and exhale. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And this time we will inhale any positive affirmation that you have, and we will exhale negative self-talk. Let's do that again. Inhale affirmations. I am happy, healthy, whole, and complete. That's mine. And exhale negative self-talk. Blow it out once more. Last time. Inhale affirmations to the count of five. Hold it. And exhale. And we will do the next t-shirt. Inhale the genius. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale doubt. Anything that you may be having an issue with that you need an answer to, just inhale the genius in you. Hold it. Once more, inhale the genius within you, hold it, and exhale. Today we are inhaling affirmations of love and exhaling doubt. There's a lot of doubt running around in our minds because we don't have the answers. But the answers are already there. All we have to do is get quiet and listen. Inhale affirmations of love. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale doubt. Once more, inhale affirmations of love. Hold it. And exhale down. And what you, as you continue to breathe in and to breathe out, know that you are in the process. This meditation activates the power that is in you, because you have way more power than you will ever, ever know. And they don't want you to know, because they want to remain in power. But you're in power. You just got to know it. Inhale deeply. Meditate to activate. And exhale. Continue breathing in and breathing out. And you will see that there are a variety of t-shirts that are here. I love this one. Inhale new thought patterns. And exhale, fear-based thinking. We always think the very worst when we don't know the answers. And we become anxious. And we worry. That is why it is imperative that we inhale new thought patterns. Inhale deeply. And exhale, fear-based thinking. And as you can see, there are tons, well, not tons, but there are lots of inhale and exhaling affirmations here. Inhale, God spirit. Exhale, evil forces. Inhale, affirmations of love. And exhale, collusion. Inhale, faith. My favorite. And exhale fear. Because when you inhale faith, you are sending signals to all of your organs, brain, heart, liver, lungs, spleen, spine, all of that. You're sending love, light, and energy. And that is exactly what we want you to do, is to surround yourself with the power of words, and don't engage in negative conversation. It just doesn't help the spirit. And when you do that, when you begin to do that, you will begin to have a different kind of experience. Be sure and check out the YouTube video on the our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show, talking about fashion designers, what the rich know that we don't know. You see, because they keep us buying and buying. I need to give away most of my clothes. I don't even wear them. And we become trapped in a cycle because we've got to have the latest, because we're in America, because everybody's dying to get here. But that's not healthy for you, because you're in a rat race trying to, you know, have the latest anything. But, you know, we all went through it. It's all part of the growing process. But I just wanted to share these with you this morning as you continue to breathe in and as you continue to breathe out. So right about now, let us take that breath and send love, light, and energy up to the head, and it's going to travel back down through the feet. So inhale deeply. Hold it. And the air from our bodies, sending love, light, and energy up to the forehead. And as we exhale, bringing that breath down through the face and exhaling. Rotate those shoulders. Need a little movement in the body in the morning. You've been still all night long, all night. And you want to rotate. Give the body some movement in the morning. Don't be laughing at my singing, Tony. Turn around to the side if you can. Stretch those limbs and inner organs. Yeah, stretch them. Ooh, that feels good. It always feels good when you give the body movement. 88-year-old woman told me at the gym, she says, a body in motion stays in motion. And she looks good, too. 88, that don't happen every day. So we got to stay in motion. Inhale deeply. bringing the energy of the breath down through the chest, the solar plexus, the sides, and the hips as we do the higher learning hip row. Remember, a body in motion stays in motion. As we inhale deeply, sending more love, light, and energy through the body. As we give thanks for the power of the breath. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. This time as we inhale, let us send more love, light, and energy. Inhale deeply. Sending more love, light, and energy down through the thighs and the knees and the legs and the arch and the instep and the ankles and the toes. Yeah, feel free to wiggle those toes. Inhale deeply. Bringing the energy of the feet back up through the toes and the ankles and the arches and the instep and the legs and the knees. As we inhale deeply, keep breathing even if we're not breathing together. Sending more love and light, the energy back up through the thighs and the buttocks and the back and the sides. We are sending love, light, and energy, no fear, no doubt. Just good, good things. We are living in a time of chaos and confusion, but we know with the power of our breath, we can do anything. That's why we continue to breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale once more, bringing the breath up through the solar plexus and the arms, and stretch. And stretch and stretch those arms. Yes, inhale deeply. Bringing that energy of the breath back up through the neck, the face, and the top of the head. As we exhale, giving thanks for the power of the breath. Because look at you, breathing all on your own. Somebody somewhere has an incubator. A trachea in their throat. Look how blessed you are. So give thanks. Don't ever take that breath for granted. Because it's not promised. The next minute is not promised. So let us take inhale once more. Bringing that energy all the way up and stretching. And giving thanks for the power of the breath. Because it is the breath that will keep us, help us keep our sanity in times of chaos and confusion. Because there is so much out there that is designed to keep us in a panic, to keep us off-centered. Yeah, they're waiting on you, but you got the power. You got the breath. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And as you exhale, bring your head down, chin to chest, and slowly rotate that head to the left. Slowly rotate that head down, around to the right, and back to the front. Head up. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale once more. And this time look to the left as far as you possibly can and feel the stretch in the right side of your neck. And exhale. Inhale deeply. And looking to your right as far as you possibly can and feeling the stretch in the left side of the neck. And how's that feel? Yeah. That's a special experience only you can give you. So anytime that you are feeling out of sorts, just a little off-center, don't feel that good. Just start doing some deep breathing. Go somewhere quiet if you can. Even if it's in the bathroom on the toilet, go somewhere in quiet and start inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling affirmations and exhaling doubt. And why do I say that? Because you have the power to do anything you want, and they know it. That is why when you look in the mirror, and you see this, inhale faith and exhale fear. You probably need to get two or three of these so you can wear them every day. You are branding not only yourself, but your consciousness. You know how brands like Nike and FUBU and all the others, how they're branded? Well, you brand yourself because you've taken the time to realize that that which you seek is also seeking you. So you take the time to do the thing that will encourage the energy, the frequency that you're vibrating on around you to begin to be in you, if that is what you so desire. So, on that note, please be sure and get your Monday Morning Mindfulness t-shirts. There is a ton of them there. They're listed as $49.99 on the site, and that helps the us get what we need for the homeless, because if you are homeless, you woke up in a wonderfully warm bed last night. You did not have to sleep on the ground. And what a blessing that is, because it is nothing nice, I promise you. So if you would like, and thank you. Keep those donations coming. I'm going to pull up our Instagram page when I come back so I can show you what your money is doing. As a matter of fact, I think I will just pull it up right now because I don't want to break your consciousness, because I want you to see the work that we're doing for the for the Higher Learning Network. We have go to our Instagram page, which is Higher Learning. No, it's not. I'm sorry. HLN. Homeless.project. HLN.homeless.project. And as you can see here, these are some of the videos that we've taken. And this is one that Tony did last week, so I'm going to show you that one. Bless you, Tony. And hey, oh, okay, very nice. Thank you, Sporty.
We are here again at Tent City to drop off food. And we need donations for more generators because winter is coming. And the Higher Learning Network, know what we do. So, here we go. Yo, let me see if I get somebody out here to help me. Yo, get this food. Okay, I'm filming. I'm filming for the Higher Learning Network. We're here again.
So we go every Thursday. And
these, I'm keeping these greens.
Okay, Tony, you keep the greens, babe. But right now, we need some greens. They had so many, it's like, they have some greens. We have a couple of greens. Anyway, tax donations are tax deductible. If you can't afford $49.95, many people can. But if you can, any donation is accepted because I haven't uploaded it. I just thought it was in my phone. Did a delivery a couple of days ago. You know, sometimes we get money during the week and we'll just take it over there. You know, our regular day is every Thursday, but sometimes we go on Friday. So if you are inclined to help someone who is less fortunate, you can see our information scrolling here at the bottom. We always need generators. They need butane, and they always need tents. So I want to thank you so very much for all of the work you do. And a very special thanks to Deborah. Is it Deborah Smith? Our third Saturday host, she sponsored the Higher Learning Network TV show, The Female Solution. So thank you, Deborah. Oh, and Sasha Dalton. Remember Sasha Dalton? She is working with me to help get them things for Christmas. So thank you in advance for doing the work that you do. And remember that it is tax deductible. Okay? Alrighty. We are a little bit, this morning we're going to show you the information that you need here. So just hold on right here. We're going to take our first commercial break And we will be right back. Okay. All right, so stay close. You want to call in, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Okay. We'll be right back.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson. Now I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Are you stressed out? Are you ready to learn some quick techniques on how to de-stress immediately? Then book your free 30-minute consultation with Zelda Speaks, the Mindfulness Stress Relief Coach, at higherlearningnetwork.org. Thanks for sharing.
Here on the Female Solution. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks. And the promo, 30-second promo you just saw for the stress relief, I am honored to be facilitated a worry workshop. Worry is only anxiety. Just this past week with about 40, 50, I'm not quite sure how many people, on a Zoom. And I found out that people worry. I don't worry anymore because I know some tricks that many don't know. Because often worry will take you to a place that you don't want to be and have you there longer than you want to be there. So I invite you to join me on the next worry workshop that I'm working on now, and that will be posted on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, and also on higherlearningnetwork.org. I will be sharing that information with you. As a matter of fact, I still have the Worryless Workshop with the Stress Relief Trainer. Yeah, so I use that. So it was really overwhelming to see how people who worry so much in corporate America about their jobs, or their family, their children, and for them to see the light bulb at the end, and it's like, oh, wow, I can do that. Oh, okay. So simple, it would just, you don't even think about it, so. Watch my blog and higherlearningnetwork.org to be on the lookout for the worry workshop. How to eliminate worry, because it's so simple. It's like, I don't know why I didn't do this before, but excuse me. I wanted to work on a relationship seminar, but I kept feeling doubtful and I didn't know why. It's like, it's on my heart to do this, but I'm not doing it. So what's the problem? Now I know it's about worry, and it's the worry that will keep us in a place alone. We don't want to be there, and I'm honored to have facilitated that workshop, so you be sure and sign up. Now you can always reach me at higherlearningnetwork.org. Right now, I want to go to the page from the, not the Female Solution. Do you watch Sunday Night? Naima Latif, Should You Let Your Children, Three Black Moms, I should say. She did a show last night, Three Black Moms, on whether or not you should let your children go play Halloween. I thought that was very interesting. So I just want to share that with you. So that's the topic today, Halloween. Are you the trick or the treat? Don't mean to insult anybody. But here's the video, and I got to show it to you because you can also go to YouTube and type in Three Black Moms, Should You Let Your Children Celebrate Halloween? And this is Naima. As you can see down here in the bottom left, that's Naima, and that's her sister Barbara at the top, and this is her sister Cheryl. And I just want to let you enjoy what mothers are saying, conscious mothers, and some unconscious, are saying about should you let your children celebrate Halloween. And this is Cheryl.
We have had years of a lot of really good Halloween. And I say if you can take your kids out, like in Winthrop where I go to church, that's a small town. So the businesses get together and they hand out kids. So kids go through the business center, the center of town, and the businesses hand out treats, and that's a nice way. A lot of people are a little nervous about sending their kids out in the neighborhood because a lot of people don't know their neighbors anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've all grown up with all the urban myths of razor blades and apples and all the other nonsense. And because those things have been going on, we've been hearing those same things, rainbow-colored fentanyl is the new one. Nobody's giving away their good drugs to kids, let me tell you that. Nobody's giving away their edibles. Nobody's doing any of that stuff. The stuff's expensive, I have heard. And so the thing is that I think that we should just enjoy the holiday, those of us whose hearts are irrevocably broken by the fact that no children show up on our doorsteps in cute little costumes. And, yes, you're going to, like, sort the candy and probably steal the stuff that when they're not looking. But it's a good tradition. It's become something of a big American tradition, even though I was just reading right before we came on about Day of the Dead, and this being, Halloween being actually a celebration of life by remembering the people who have gone before, and that is Dia de Muertos.
Dia de Muertos. Or
like
November 1st, All Saints Day.
Yeah, and it's all because before All Saints Day, where we also honor the people who have gone before us. So I think, you know, given the tradition, I think it's kind of a fun thing to do. Naima, I see you either are a scrub woman or you're just
cleaning out. Yeah, y'all call me mopping. No, I'm a cleaning woman. Of course, you know, this is probably how I look every day anyway.
Exactly. Same thing with Bob.
You're not a costume if you're being yourself.
Like the woman who always looks like that.
Yes. Yeah, I started to be a bandit and wear like a bandana around my face, but then everybody's doing that since COVID, so. So, yeah, it's getting big to tell. But, you know, I think, and it's funny, Shore, because you sound so much like my brother-in-law. I think it broke Kevin's heart that year that we didn't have any children because he does this all-out thing for Halloween. He fixes up little assortment bags of candy and everything, and he puts out the little, you know, they have those trash bags that they're made like pumpkins, like jack-o'-lanterns, and they fill those leaves and put those all around the yard. I mean, this is a whole big holiday celebration thing. And the year that he made all these bags of candy in there and no children came, I think maybe one or two, he was just so heartbroken, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what happens. The neighborhood changes, and the children grow up, and sometimes there just are no more children. So,
yeah.
You know, you have that moment where you realize things have changed. And, you know, I mean, I hear a lot of, you get a lot of the downside, the serious people who always say, oh, we should do that, oh, you're celebrating dead people, oh, that's awful, oh, you know, you get all these perverts out here. You get that. But I think
because, on a regular day.
Yeah, I know, and you don't need Halloween for the perverts to come out. But I think
they're always out,
yeah. But I think because we grew up in such a family-friendly neighborhood, we see things differently. Because we used to be able to go down the block and trick-or-treat, and, you know, people who gave out the good candy, they got a reputation, so everybody made sure you got to their house.
And also the people who used to give out popcorn, homemade popcorn balls.
Yeah.
Always gave out apples. I mean, there are something that we all have. We have this collective, this is great when you have sisters, because you have this collective memory of what people used to give out. And we trusted everybody on the block.
That was the thing. We knew everybody.
You know, there were so many kids, and everybody had kids. And we all literally grew up together. And now with neighborhoods being so transient, you know, none of the children that Sarah grew up with who lived on this block live here anymore. Because we had more renters than we had homeowners, and those children, those most people, when they did buy, they went and they bought somewhere in another neighborhood, and they've moved on, and she doesn't have any of those friends anymore. So it's hard for some people because our situations as a nation have changed, because you have more people who are moving more and can't afford housing, and that goes into this whole thing of, you know, you barely know your neighbors, you know, because, you know, like I have the kids next door, but I think they're also like in junior high or old, too old to be going trick-or-treating, so.
And so many of these things now, with the way things have changed and kids, I think part of it was COVID. I know for 2 years we didn't have any children come to our house, and we do have children that live in our little cul-de-sac. But I'm remembering even our church, Armitage Baptist, on the north side of Chicago, they would have what they call a harvest day, and they would make the whole place look like a giant old country fair. They had hot meals they were serving under the tent out in the parking lot. They had a petting zoo. They had games for all the kids. At different stations, you would go and you could get candy. And they had pony rides. And it was like a big celebration, and they would even have a costume contest and all that kind of stuff. And then to get away from the scariness of Halloween, the school where I teach now, the elementary school where I sub the most, they had this past Friday what they called Book Character Day. So you had to dress up as a character from a book. So there were a lot of, princesses from all the fairy tales and all those kind of stories. And then they had a kids parade where the kids marched around the parking lot and got to appreciate everybody's costumes that they had. We had very few scary costumes. Most of them were all kinds of characters from Alice in Wonderland and Peter Rabbit and all those kind of things, because this is elementary school, so it only goes up to fifth grade. But it was really kind of fun that they did that. And then I remember when we were living as Jesus People, and they would have an alternative where they would have, everybody would have a bunch of candy. They would have a store, and you would have play money, and you would go and you would buy the candy, so to speak, and then they would have this little celebration where everybody had to dress as a Bible character, and you probably had like 50 Ruths and 80 Esthers, but one kid was really creative. He was Lazarus back from the dead, and he dressed up as a mummy.
Mummy, oh, that's that one. I remember the year, I think was it a month? Well, you know, Mr. Peel, he used to always have some kind of scary costume when you went to their door. And I think one year he dressed up like a mummy, and another one year he was like a werewolf or something. So you open the door and everybody goes,
I find that there are more adults, and maybe it's just because we're adults now, but there are more adults who are really into Halloween. I mean, I have spent hundreds of dollars on decorating their house.
Now, you see what we are up against when we speak the truth, spend hundreds of dollars on decorations. You could be helping feed the homeless. You could be helping keeping the homeless warm. And I know that sounds selfish, but it's selfish to do what you're doing. That's just me. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Because you are buying into an idea that was not meant for your best interest. And my sister Vieta Robinson shares this, and I have got to share it with you because I just thought this says it all. Vieta says, Halloween promotes sugar addiction. Even though I did not celebrate Halloween, my son still have a strong appetite for sugar. I just manage me. You are absolutely right, Viata, because as much as you want to control them grandchildren, honey, their parents are thinking something else. And I want to thank you for making that note, because it is the sugar that changes our behavior. And I got the proof. I cannot tell you how many cavities I've had, how many teeth I have lost as a result of the sugar addiction. Now, see, they don't tell you that. They don't tell you
that you eating all this sugar is going to ruin your teeth and your body, because that's what causes cancer. So they're setting you up for the okie doke. And we are, you know, in our right mind, we are going to allow our children and as adults participate in an activity that is detrimental to us because it is the right thing to do. You don't want to be looked at as someone who doesn't enjoy holidays. It's not a holiday, y'all. It's a setup. And I got the dental bills to prove it. I got the body to prove it, okay? How do you think I became a diabetic? Sweet potato pie, German chocolate cake, pound cake, butter cookies, red devil cake, anything with sugar in it, I would eat. I would not even eat dinner. I would just eat sugar. And you wonder why I was pre-diabetic for 10 years. And then I go in the show into emergency room. Well, I'm about to go into surgery because I fell and had an accident. That's how I discovered I was diabetic. And the man says, "You're a diabetic." The doctor says, "I'm like, oh, you got the rounds, all the rounds, and I have no diabetes." He's like, "Oh yes, you do. Is all the rounds. Mm-hmm. You live here. Mm-hmm. This is your birthday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a diabetic. Okay, so we'll see you when you come out." So that was a shock for me. And I want to show you diabeticdonut.com, too. We need to continually educate our youth and the consequences of ingesting the drug sugar. Thank you, Viata. Let me tell you this. I found this out. I was super rude. Did you know that you used to have a prescription? You needed a prescription to buy sugar. Don't believe me? Google it. You needed a prescription to buy sugar. So what does that tell you? It's lethal and it's available for you to kill yourself. Because that's what we do. Everybody's dying life and limb to get here. But they don't see the detriment that's going on here because all they see is what the media shows you on TV. Oh, we're having so much fun going to get candy, spending money unnecessarily. You could be helping somebody keep warm. But no, they've got us trained to do otherwise. I want to show you this. This is diabeticdonut.com. How I reverse type 2 diabetes. So if you go to diabeticdonut.com, you will see this. And I want you to be aware of this. So I want you to watch this. Yep. I need to take it off of there, don't I? I need to. And why do we not hear this? Okay. Too much belly fat? You could be diabetic. Yes, you could. This is where I met Jody Susan at the Health and Wellness Expo. I was doing a seminar on reversing type 2 diabetes. That's what, 7-5 years ago. How I Reverse Type 2 Diabetes is a free download that you can get that shows you the drink that I take every day. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, and all that good stuff. And if you go to the website, you will see. And you can download that for free. You do not have to die from diabetes. Our beloved Minister Cynthia just passed, and she was a diabetic. She had both of her limbs cut off. My brother was a diabetic. My sister was a diabetic. And we think it's in the genes. No, baby, it's all in the fork and the spoon. We have developed the same habits that our families have adopted. And therefore, we get the same diseases. And when you get the same disease, what are you going to do? You are going to probably get a prescription for metformin because that's what I was on, metformin. I was on it for a year. And no telling what it did to my kidneys and spleen and spine and all that, but it's killing you, in other words. So I just wanted to share that with you. So when we come back after the 8 o'clock break, I think I can let this play for you. And we will discuss more of that. If you want to call in, 515-605-93, press 1 to speak, and we will bring your call in. And right now, we are going not to the phones, but to our next commercial break. So stay close. We'll be right back.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Shopping is something you have to do every week, whether it's for food, clothing, or cleaning supplies. Wouldn't it be great if you could save time by just pressing a few buttons on your computer and all your shopping was done? All you'd have to do is go to the store and pick it up. It's already bagged up for you. Or just sit at home and wait for it to be delivered. And wouldn't it be great if you got paid every time you and your friends shopped? Well, we can make that happen. We are networking associates independently making affluent households. NAIMAH, NAIMA. Call us at 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456. Or visit our website, www.naima.biz.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Jessica's new QuickLink makes, Laura will earn additional QuickCash as well. making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving, doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on the Female Solution.
Are you the trick or the treat? Sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it? But it sounded appropriate because we have allowed society to dictate to us what we should or should not allow our children to participate in. And if they don't participate, you are made to feel less than. Wow, I would not want to be a parent right about now. Because you deal with that your whole life. The the pressure, I had an African guy tell me this. He says, in America, the pressure is so deep for you to do and to be and to have. I never looked at it like that. I was like, oh, okay, you had to come from another country to realize that because, you know, we're born into it. That's all we do is shop, you know, shop till you drop. We've got all kinds of little monikers that say, you know, shop till you drop, things like that. And it's really not to our benefit. So we have to come to the conclusion that whoever is benefiting from the holidays, it's really not us. It's another chance to make us cough up some more money, and we will continue to cough up even more money because when our children go trick-or-treat, and our adults too, we're going to get some sugar. Now, I know I love me a Hershey bar, a Butterfinger, and a, what was the other one? Nestle's Crunch. I love them all, but they don't love me. So what you going to do? You have to do what's best for you. And it won't always agree with what everybody else has said. So you have to make that decision. excuse me, it is 8:08, if you'd like to call in, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak, but you got to press 1. otherwise, we won't know that you want to speak. I'm looking at my notes here. Rainbow-colored fentanyl, the pills. Cheryl, in the video that you just saw, said something that made so much sense. It's like they are not giving kids fentanyl. Because the dealers of that, the street dealers, they're not giving away money like that. They want you to buy it. So the question is, are we being hoodwinked? That's a possibility. I never thought about that. They've got all these pills, blue, purple, and multicolored, rainbow-colored pills, and these are the pills that are killing our children. And adults, too. I'm watching the news this morning, last night in River North, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people OD'd, they didn't die, they just overdosed. So it has become so popular that we just overlook it. You know, everybody's at the club partying, having a good time, but they don't know that the outcome could let them wind up in the hospital, which is exactly what happened, and they were in the hospital. Almost didn't make it. So you have to ask yourself the question, is it worth it? is it worth to spend money for a costume for yourself and for your children when you could be teaching them a valuable lesson? The money that you are wasting on costumes, because if you just got to go, you could make your own. If you just have to go, make your own and share that. Keep somebody, while you're out there having fun in the streets, going from door to door getting candy, somebody is cold. And you might say, Zilla, that's not my responsibility. You see, I come from an era where family looked out. Even if you weren't blood, you were in the community. Excuse me. So you were part of the family, even if it's extended family. And I know those values are long gone. Tony and I have this conversation all the time. It's like it's a whole new world out there. And the way that we were raised as children no longer is. So we have to keep that in mind. I would like to share with you more of that conversation from three black moms. Should you let your children participate in Halloween? And you know what? I really, excuse me. I apologize, but I'm going to bring it back. I wanted to you to see the intro of the show because it's really, you need to show. So I'm at 13:30 right now, so I'll come. No, I'm going to let it play from here, then I'll come back. It's a really nice intro. I want to let you see that. So this is, should you let your children celebrate Halloween with three black moms, and Naima Latif is actually our executive producer of the show, Naima Latif and her two sisters. So check it out.
Yes. So and going and when I first moved here, you know, well, when I first moved here, I was single, but when Sarah was a baby, and there were so many kids. I think her first Halloween, she was a pea pod because she was only like 7 months old or something, and I took her out. It was 70 degrees that night. And there were so many kids and people. One of my neighbors who since passed on, she used to have the great big giant cauldron, and she would sit on her porch in her witch costume. And then her son would like open the cellar door when the kids came up the stairs, so they would scream. And I thought, you know, these people are really, really into this. That's what's interesting now is that a lot more adults are into Halloween than I think the kids are. So I think, you know, it's become such an ingrained thing that they start with the Halloween candy right around September.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh
know,
my goodness! I got candy yesterday. Yeah. Everything was gone from Costco. And I ran into one of my neighbors there, Jeff and Rosa, a couple of friends of ours, and he said, oh yeah, you can't wait till the last minute. I bought my candy a month ago.
Yeah, because that's when they start, and that's when they start with the deals. Now, when I was working in an office, I always had candy on my desk anyway, and so I would always, so this would have been a good time of the year for me to go and stock up, and I'd have all this candy. Because when the candy jar was empty, people would stand there and wait for me to come in, like my children. And they would come stand in, and they would stand around, and really, when they emptied it within 24 hours, I would go and get stuff that nobody liked, you know, like I would go get Starburst, which I love, but then people wouldn't like eat all the chocolate. They would take just two or three Starbursts instead of like practically emptying it into their pockets. But you know, year round, so this is the time of year that I would like really stock up. But luckily, I'm not working there anymore, and it saved me a ton of money because now I'll just buy like one bag of candy because I can't eat it, you know, myself. You know, it'll stay. I have a candy jar downstairs that stays, you know, pretty full most of the time because I can only eat two pieces. And the rest of the time, like I said, you know, since we don't have kids,
I got to stop this for a second because she said something. She said, I keep my candy stock. I keep the candy stocked. I keep the candy stocked. Remember, I'm always talking about programming. And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. It is what it is. We have been programmed since birth. Actually, before we even came to the planet, we have been programmed on what to eat, what to drink, how to live. And none of us, or let me take that back, very few of us will take the time to look at the history or her story of Halloween and how it became to be. Now, many of those who are followers of faith, of Christianity and the Bible, many think different, and many do think along the same lines because we have not taken the time to do the research to see how Halloween began, how it continues to make us do things out of the ordinary. It's like, why, if you knew that sugar was rotting your teeth and the teeth of your children and it is killing your inner organs. See, we don't think about that. We just think about the sugar, how good it tastes. And it is that kind of thinking that keep us at the dentist's office paying an arm and a leg. So I just wanted to share that. If you want to share something, 515-605-9325, press 1.
Now, when I was doing Weight Watchers, they gave us a tip on how not to be eating the candy and messing up doing well on your eating habits. And they said to buy a bunch of candy that you don't like. And I was like, then I'm stuck eating a bunch of candy that I don't like. Okay.
like the time they went, no, actually they could have because it was those little candy bars in the wrap, you know, that have been the original candy bars. So it's, yeah, the squirrels could have been
not.
If they did, they didn't take, if they did, they only took one or two. They read the sign. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I was surprised because, you know, you think that people go, oh, it's so stupid. They left the whole bowl out here. I had to take all of it. But nobody did that. Everybody.
You know, and you know why? Because more times when you see people treating their little kids, and their little kids with their parents, and their parents aren't going to have them take, like, a whole bunch of candy from one spot, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, you're also trying to teach your little ones fairness. So if you have, like, preschoolers and kindergartners up to, like, third grade or something, you know, even fourth or fifth grade, they're not, you know, by the time they get about fifth grade, you might have to watch them a little bit. But, you know, but most of the time, I mean, kids understand the fairness. The thing is that if there aren't very many other people on your block, you know, and everybody's got their lights out, if you're, like, only one or two lights on, nobody comes down that block.
You wouldn't come down the block when it looks too dark and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because
that signifies they're out of candy, usually.
Yeah,
you
don't want
their lights out.
They're not participating, you know. So, I mean, it's people have their prerogatives. Some people just feel like, look, I don't know these neighborhood children. I don't want to know them. I don't want them coming by my house. I don't trust them. And we never had anybody do any, like, vandalism kind of stuff.
No.
We never had, like, throwing eggs at people's house. We didn't have it.
You know what? It's funny because when we look back on our childhood, it almost sounds idyllic. And, of course, everybody knows that you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You know, there's probably a lot of other things that went on. But for the most part, our neighborhood was very stable because everybody were coming out there. They were all first-time homeowners. They were excited about being in their own home and in a neighborhood and having their own yard and all of these things. And these were all young families.
Yeah.
And when I think back on that neighborhood, you know, and when I come home and I see that houses are awfully small, but they didn't seem small when we were growing up.
It was just so different.
So I think when we think about Halloween, we need to think about being the neighbors and being the neighborhood that we want to see. And then, like I said, I actually have a class that night, so I don't know what time I would even be getting back. Like I said, I do have some candy that I bought just in case.
Yeah.
But,
I've got Bible study fellowship Monday night, so I will not be home until after that's over.
So, as you can see, these women, the Naima Latif and her two sisters, three black moms, that is the show that they do every Sunday evening. And I wanted you to see the intro before we left. I want you to see the intro. And I'm going to show you that, and then I'm going to go to the phone lines, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Let me go back. I want to see the intro. I just thought it was so key. I'm going to show you that. And then we're going to take some calls, 515-605-9325. Remember, you got to press 1 to speak. Should you let your children celebrate Halloween? But I just want to let you see. I'm going to the phone lines, 706-202 and 312-721. I will be taking your calls in about a minute here. I just want you to see the intro to the show of Three Black Moms with Naima Latif. What is the problem? Why are you not playing? Okay, there you go. Naima and her sisters.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms.
Excuse me, and I just wanted you to see that.
Standing on the edge of a brightly lit porch highlighting...
That's Barbara. Barbara. We'll come back to that. Right now, we need to take some phone calls. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Excuse me. 706-202 Grand Rising. You're live on the air. I do. That is our Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. Grand Rising, Baba.
Grand Rising. And I sit here, Kwame Sunhorse, sit here in the stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Eatonton, Georgia. You know, it's funny how we look back over Halloween or All Hallow Eve. That's what the really, the day before All Saints Day. The thing that we're looking at is, do we teach our children to honor our ancestors? Do we celebrate our loved ones that have crossed over in celebrations such as what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at certain cultures, and especially from down south of us, they go to the cemetery and they have festivities with those ones that have gone on, and they acknowledge them for who they were in their life, and they teach the children about their ancestors.
Mm.
How many of us take our children to the cemetery, unless it's a parent, to go and say, here's your great-grandfather, here's your grandfather, here's your grandmother, and honor those things, but we will celebrate this day in which was given to us by Christians and pagans coming together, honor what they call saints, the day before All Saints Day. And so we're looking at the origin of something and what we do with being programmed to follow a culture which is not really our own. That is not our way, but we will emulate that culture, but then we turn around and, like you said, go pay the American Dental Association much, much money for the candy. And the danger of it was, at one time, they were mindful because people were putting things in candy, and you were talking about fentanyl.
Yes.
What would you do if your child OD'd on fentanyl? Can't somebody lace the candy with fentanyl? See, we've got to be mindful of how we do. If you're going to do something and you're talking community, bring together in a church and let all the children come and celebrate, and you exchange the gifts and talk about the ancestors, not go out in the street and go from door to door, because kind of today, we don't too much know who lives next door, who lives over us, who lives under us in the spaces that we live in.
Sure don't. You are absolutely right. We don't have a clue. And probably and many of us are even scared to talk to our neighbors.
But you're going to dress your child up and take them door to door to people that you don't even know.
Right. That makes a lot of
sense. Something to think about, you know, because we value our children, but what do we do in giving them the right direction to know their value? Why do I have to go door to door to get candy from somebody else that I don't even know, and you tell them don't talk to strangers or don't take nothing from strangers, but you train them to go and do this one day?
Right.
And it's really like 60 days before the end of the year. It's kind of like a catapult. Start this on December 31st, and you got the Thanksgiving on the 20-whatever of November. Then you got the 31st of December. It's kind of like preparation for the celebration of consumerism.
Mm-hmm. Celebration of consumerism, yeah. Yeah. Never looked at it like that. 721. Okay, celebration of consumerism. That's exactly what we're doing. Because, like as you said, we've been programmed. And we've been so programmed, we don't even realize it. And when someone speaks truth to us, we're like, oh, they on that craziness again. I don't want to hear that. But that's just a fact of life. 829, if you just joined the conversation, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. We're going to take our last commercial break here, and then we're going to come back, and Naima Latif will be joining us for the after show, so stay close.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
We're on air everywhere, online all the time. And play this last promo for you right here. Here we go.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. She decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickLink that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickLink on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickLink, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickLink and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickClick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And this is one of the platforms that we use in order to raise funds for the Higher Learning Network mission for the homeless. So that information will be posted on my blog at zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. So if you want to learn how to raise funds for your organization, feel free to do so. We'd love to have you as a part of our journey in helping the homeless on Tent City, Roosevelt Road, between Roosevelt and Taylor Street on Des Plaines Avenue. That's the Higher Learning Network, who we are, what we do. Oh wow, I love what Viata says. We need to continually educate our youth about the consequences of ingesting the drug sugar. Yes, ma'am, you are absolutely right. People are ingesting sugar to comfort and soothe low-frequency emotions. OMG, it's more than addictive. It's more addictive than cocaine. Yes, did you know that? Yeah, you need a prescription for it. You don't need a prescription for cocaine. You just go get that in the street. I digress. And the media is the trick. Promoting lies and fear. You are right on target, my sister. She says, yep, that's what they promote. And the trick is not the truck. Hello. Okay, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak as we go to the phone lines. 312-721. You're live on the Female Solution, I do believe. That is our executive producer, Naima Latif. On everywhere.
Yes. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
Well, I'm glad Viata said that because she hit it on the nail on the head. Basically, it's all about the sugar. Now, we as a nation, we have incorporated a lot of different traditions, a lot of European traditions, a lot of European pagan traditions, a lot of different things that have come into what has become American culture. But if you notice, everything surrounds sugar.
Yes.
You look at what Mother's Day. Oh, you got to buy a box of candy. More sugar. Easter. Well, you got to put the jelly beans. You know, the sugar.
Yep.
You look at everything that we celebrate. Of course, Halloween. Sugar. All about. It's supposed to have been celebrating ancestors. What is it? Getting candy. Sugar. Christmas. Oh, you got to have your sugar. You know, y'all, cakes, candies, all the candy canes. Everything is about sugar, and there is a reason for that. You know, America's all about the money. It's all about the economics. And the biggest thing that was the driving force behind the slave trade was sugar. So I'm going to read this quickly. What is the relationship between sugar and slavery? The labor of enslaved Africans was integral to the cultivation of the cane and production of sugar. Slaves toiled in the fields and the boiling houses, supplying the huge amounts of labor that sugar required. How did sugar impact the New World? While the ability to granulate sugar in the 18th and 19th centuries caused an economic boom for plantation owners and the local economy, it came with the aggressive expansion of the slave trade and deadly working conditions for people enslaved on sugar plantations. This is, as you pointed out, this is an addictive substance, and the production of it, the spreading of it, the exporting of it, it made America the wealthy power that it is today. It was all about the sugar, so that's why every single celebration we have focuses on sugar, getting people addicted to sugar, and we don't remember anything else. We got to remember, like you said, we're programmed to go after the sugar and get our children hooked on it early. So we have an opportunity to examine every single celebration and make it into something that is spiritual, that is wholesome, that is uplifting, even that is healthy. We have the opportunity to choose to do that if we want to have community celebrations or remembrances of our ancestors or whatever it is. You know, whether it's Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July even, you know, okay, celebrate the fact that eventually America is evolving to a place where people can be respected and there can be freedom for all. But the things that we do, we must be conscious that we are being marketed to get us addicted to sugar on everything. And like you heard my sister's talking about, you know, the rush to buy sugar. Buy the candy at the store. They start selling it at September. This whole sugar thing, it's about keeping people addicted. We putting people in jail for having cannabis, like our sister Brittany over in Russia. But the real addiction in America is sugar, and they've gotten the whole world addicted to it. And we became the commodity that produced it. And you know, they may talk about how every slave dreaded being sent down the river, that meant sent to the sugar cane fields, because that's where it was so harsh, and they beat you to death to get you to produce that sugar. That was the harshest place that you could be sent. So all of this surrounding sugar, it's America's economy for a reason. And when we know that, then we can make better choices on how we're going, if we're going to either not indulge in the celebration because we know the historical origins, or if we do it because we want our families to have family gatherings and community gatherings, we have to redirect it and direct it away from the sugar, because that is the addictive drive for everything in America, and it all comes down to the money. And this is America's God that it worships, the money. So if we know that the addictive thing that America produces is sugar, and we know that every holiday is geared toward getting us addicted to sugar, then we have to be conscious about what we have our children participate in. And if we want to send them to someplace and there's going to be a lot of sugar, we can send them with healthy non-sugared snacks or, you know, fruits and things like that. And I think my sister might have mentioned, you know, one of the neighbors that always give, when people went to her house, the children went to her house, she'd give out apples. Because some, you know, some parents were health conscious, like, okay, I'm not going to add to the sugar. I'm going to give you something like fruit, you know, and you could trust them because you knew them and they weren't perverts and all that sort of thing. But really, we got to be conscious about the programming that we've been given and the history of everything, because all of this, when we think of the pain and suffering of slavery and knowing that sugar helped to accentuate it because it was so valuable, because it is addictive and they're willing to beat us to death to produce it. But look at how wealthy America is, and look at how we've got to put sugar in everything we got, you know, from our tea, our coffee, our cereal, everything. Yep. So it's up to us to be conscious and detox ourselves from that sugar addiction that all of us have. And I love my sisters, but both of them are diabetic. And we all go to the same household. I'm trying to get them your book so they can detox, because they, you know, they follow in the same pattern of, you know, doctors saying, well, you know, you got to have the insulin and this and that and the other, you know, steering them toward the ultimate path where our dear sister, Minister Cynthia, ended up cutting off your limb. I mean, that is how they have us programmed, where ultimately they're going to make money from you, all the way from your cavities in your teeth to your insulin treatments you got to buy to your limbs getting cut off. And they're constantly supplying you with sugar, just destroying it. So we got to be conscious. It's our responsibility to reverse it. When I made dietary changes in my life, my whole body chemistry is different. We grew up in the same household, but once I became conscious, health conscious, and made those dietary changes, I changed my whole physical structure. So we all grew up with the same genes, but they were not aware of the programming. And so there's a result to that. So we have to choose consciousness if we want to choose health and life and long, healthy life. And
yes,
we got to teach our children real early. You know, and like you were saying about being pressured, there is a lot of pressure. And what we have to do is do some alternatives so we don't yield to the pressure. Let our children have fun, but let them stay healthy.
Right. And move around with Deborah. Our third Saturday host, 12 noon to 2 p.m., says, God's blessings. Have you noticed sugar? Chocolate was used as an olive branch in wartime. Chocolate and nylons. No, I was not aware of that, Deborah. So thank you for shedding some light on that. I had no idea. Did you know about that, Baba Kwame Sonoras? I'm sure you did.
Yes, because even in the Vietnam War, the thing that we did was we gave the children candy and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a treat that they did not have in a war-torn country, to be able to have these people who are fighting in their country to give them treats, or to give women, you know, go to the PX or go to the military store and buy treats for women for exchanges. So these are all the parts of teaching consumerism. Now look at all the nail salons and places that have employed or have businesses more so after we did what we did in that country.
That's food for thought. 844-515-6059325. Press 1 to speak. We have a few more calls on the board that we need to take. Let me go to the phone. And excuse me. Area code 773-984. You are live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your comment?
Grand Rising, this is Rashida Ali calling from Chicago. All right. I want to invite those who live in the Sixth Ward that's listening to an event we are having in the community today for the children starting at 2 to 4. And we're going to have some mentors out, some male and female mentors out in the community to meet the students when they come out with their parents for Halloween. So just wanted to invite those who reside in the community so that we could start, you know, reverting the image of All Saints and let our children know it's not a bloody event, it's a social event that we can be social and have mentors to, you know, to lead them and motivate them and to do them differently.
So, Russ.
In Chatham area, in 6th Ward, from Van Line up to 87th at Cottage Grove, and about 67th to 87th, not past Cottage Grove. We're inviting them to come to 81st and Ever Heights for a celebration with the students and mentors.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Rashida, for calling. We greatly appreciate that. Let's try to get a few more calls in. It's 8:46. We got 10 minutes. 773-440. You're live on the Female Solution. Grand Rising, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Unmute
Grand
yourself.
Rising. Grand Rising.
Hi,
who's
this?
Obadiah. How you doing?
Hi, Obadiah. Thank you so much for calling this morning. What's your comment?
Yeah, you know, I've got to always listen in to your show, even if I don't call in.
Okay, thank
anyway,
you.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a lot of discussion about a lot of different things. But, you know, it's interesting to me how we always follow some tradition that somebody created. Why don't we get our own tradition? It's like you say, you know, you're eating all this candy and stuff because people are pushing it at you, and you never tell yourself to stop it. They still pushing it today as in a Halloween Christmas candy. But, I mean, why are we following all this stuff when even we check the origins of it? I mean, just check the origins of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys, hemp seed, I sold, and they were running around here chasing women and I guess having some sort of sex game, raping them or whatever they was doing. It was a game. I mean, you just did some stuff, chased after some women, and did what you wanted to. That's what Halloween was about. And then something like Kwame was talking about, it was about the dead people and all that. But how do you bring the dead back alive? And what is that about?
And why do we want to bring them back alive?
Yeah, but that's the society and it's schizophrenia. That's just like we want peace, but we can't stop warring against each other. That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
so until these people get it, yeah, until they get stuff on point and we get away from traditional foolishness, we're going to continue to have problems like that. But in the meantime, if we get our frequency right, increase our consciousness, and rise above all of it, we'll be able to be part of the solution.
Mm,
that's
amen.
Why the program is called The Female Solution. But females and males, we need the solution. So let's be some solutionaries, y'all.
All right, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Jella. Let's do it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Obadiah from Chicago. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak as we go to 312-768. You're live on the Female Solution. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 312-768.
All right. Hi. Good morning, Grand Rising. Mala Joy, how are you?
Mala Joy, so good to hear you.
Oh, my stars. I've been trying to get on here for over 45 minutes. I said, oh, what's happening here?
Oh,
you know, I am so enjoying the conversation. And I tell you, you know, I do Uber, and I enjoy that. And so I travel all over the city. And the thing that really just took me by total surprise was the elaboration of the celebration of Halloween, these figures. And someone said hundreds of dollars. I have you to know, people are spending thousands of dollars for some of the elaborate decorations. Some people have turned their whole front into graveyards with these large figures.
Yes.
I saw four blocks. And these people had to organize themselves to do that. And so I had to look into myself and ask a real deep question. What is this? What is going on? Because this has come from, and it did begin, Halloween did begin as a sacred event. I'm from New Orleans, and we as a city under Catholicism, we celebrated the All Saints Day, and we would go to the cemetery, and we would bring our picnic baskets there, and we would tell stories of our ancestors and our, and revisited those stories because we didn't have pictures of them, but we had stories. So I think that sometimes we get a little disconnected, and then we become judgmental with something that we don't fully understand. You know, Halloween, when I came up, we had little costumes. We'll cut a sheet, or we'll put, you know, something old on. But mostly what the people shared was fruits. They gave fruits. Every now and then you might have a little candy, but fruits were very popular. A little trinkets, a little beads. That's what we did in New Orleans. And so you had little things like that. But I heard a gentleman say about celebrating consumering. And I think that is what has happened, that the celebration has now been injected with the business mind. And when you have business people coming into any stream of life, they are always for profit. Let's not forget that. Even with our as you say, Mother's Day, that started from the heart. Thanksgiving and Christmas. When business people get involved in any stream of life, they go in for profit. And now the sugar industry, yes, it is in it. And it's not the Halloween. It's the mindset, and we have lost our own authority in knowing that even if we don't know our neighbors, what about being responsible to learn who they are so that we can get along? Because our neighbors are our first line of defense. And so I'm just saying that this is not going the way we want. Let's start where we are to restore back to family trust, restore back to what we're doing in our neighborhood, because that's where it begins. And change this mindset and not be a consumer, but be a creator of what it is that we want our life to be, because yes, this is not working for us.
Yes, you are right on target. Thank you so much, Mama Joy. Mama Joy is part of the Female Solution as well. And when can we expect to hear you, Mama Joy?
Well, I will be on the second. Oh, thank you so much. The second Saturday, the 12th of November, I'll be there, and then the third Wednesday with Brother Kareem and Sister Naima. So I'm excited about that, and happy to hear this conversation. And thank you so much for reminding me on that.
Love. And thank you so much for calling in, Mama Joy. What a joy to have you on the show this morning. I love it. Thank you, Mama Joy. Appreciate you. Love you, girl. Love you, Queen Sister. How about that? 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. We got a couple of comments here. Move around with Deborah says, what is a natural sweetener that we can use in place of sugar? I'm so glad you asked that question, Deborah, because I found out about organic raw honey, which I think is the best, but you be the judge what works for you. And there's also something called stevia, S-T-E-V-I-A, stevia. There are tinctures, come in a little bottle. I don't have one here in front of me, but if you go to wherever you go and get your plant-based remedies food, you'll find some stevia. And it's because it comes from a plant less detrimental to your organs, because It is the sugar that is eating us alive. At the memorial this past weekend for my BFF, Deborah Smith, there was a testimony from her, one of her pastors in Indiana, and he had, indigestion problems, and the hospital, the doctors, of course, wanted to cut everything out, put a colostomy bag on him, but he called his pastor of the church and said, man, don't let them cut on you. Start a plant-based diet and you'll be just fine, and that's exactly what he did. He lost 80 pounds, and he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what you did, but keep doing it because you don't need a colostomy bag now. So what does that tell you? Plant-based foods are your friend. If it didn't come from a plant, the question you have to ask yourself is, why am I eating it? Is this an emotional conversation I'm having with myself, an emotional experience, and I don't want to feel that, so I'll give me some peppermint or some cookie or candy or something to soothe that. So you want to be aware of your actions and how you're feeling at all times, and that will make a big difference, I promise you. Did I take 773-984? I don't remember.
773-984? Yes, it's Rashida.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rashida. Yeah, we took that call. Let's get one more call. 312-671, you're live on the solution. What is your question or comment as it relates to trick or treat? Are you the trick or the treat? Hi, who's this?
We only ask you long. Who are we? Don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful and black power. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, this Minister Plump. You know, our health is our wealth, Zelda. You know, our people is, you're right on time with the last suggestion is to go plant-based because I've, you know, experienced that, you know, we need to eat as a people, especially black people, more fruits and vegetables and plants that fills the replacement of the sugar because another thing is that the sugar, as Naima said too, has been one of the worst parts of experience for our people, which is to kill us. And that creates, you know, malfunctions in the body. And also, and brothers and sisters will eventually go to the opposition of God and go to the devil's program, which is death, hell, fire, and brimstone. So I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to stick by God and go with God's.
So hell is a state of mind, Minister Plump. So thank you so much for coming and sharing that information this morning. This is our closing. We're going to have a after show, but I must say the closing. So hold on, and we're going to go into the after show with Naima Latif.
LATIF.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you,
and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
If you are stressed and you need to do something about it, you're just not quite sure what to do, then you can give me a call or email me, Zelda@higherlearningnetwork.org. Excuse me, and the contact number is 312-409-6619. And it is officially the after show, and we are being joined by Naima Latif. And I can't really see her. I can't see you, Naima. I don't know what's going on there. But until I get her pulled up, I wanted to share with you something that Baba Kwame Sunhor sent me, and now I can't find it. So now I got to send it to myself again. It's sugar art. Have you ever heard of sugar art? It's the sugar sphinx, actually. And, excuse me. I have never heard of such a thing, and that's why I love this show, because I'm always learning something, and Baba Kwame Sunhorse has shared this information with me, and I want to share it with you. Baba Kwame, while I'm pulling this up, can you tell us a little bit about this sugar sphinx, this sugar art?
Well, that sister that did that sphinx is in the old Domino Sugar factory in Baltimore. There and what she did was all the sugar that was left around in that space, she took and created the artwork that you see her standing in front of, Aunt Jemima head of a sphinx. And what she was doing is like Naima was sharing, the history of sugar and creating it and putting it into an art. And so New York Times, I think, I forget the magazine, Equifax, something. Anyway, they did a expose on her and the art that she created with sugar. There's different pictures and things. And then also there's different books that, you know, if we want to know our story, as the most southern place on earth, talks about the Mississippi Delta and their sugar. And you got Sugar, A Bittersweet History, that talks about that. And Sugar and Blood, you know, we call it diabetes, but back in the day they used to say, oh, she got the sugar.
Uh-huh.
That was diabetes. That was the way in which we identified the person had was a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
By over-consuming sugar. And so there's a great history, and like Naima said, that was part of the wealth. Sugar and cotton were two main sources of the world powers chain, is because the textile industry created the industrial industry in the north. And so sugar was a main source when they brought it into other countries and began to feed it to the consumer, the people of Europe. They went overboard for it. And then that was the way in which we looked at, really, sugar is really brown because it's made from sugar. Is what causes it to be so addictive, the same way that coca is a leaf and it's green, and people use it there in the South Americas. They chew it and use it as medicine. But once you bleach or add chemicals to something and extract from it, then that changes the chemical makeup of it. The same way with opioids. You know, heroin and cocaine could not be made unless the chemicals that we sent there to the South Americas to process the opiate plant to make it into an addictive substance. So these are the ways in which, you know, we have seen how they take in our plant relatives and made them enemies to us. They took our plant relatives and made them enemies to us. And even in the pharmaceutical companies copying plant relatives and plant medicines and making an artificial, created the pharmaceutical industry, which now basically is helping in the genocide of people, selling them products that is extracted or copied from nature. So these are the parts in which you're doing, because you have sugar in the apple. You have all fruits produce its own sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing is that when you take it and you extract its chemical makeup, then you make it more harmful than helpful. You make it more, because eating raw sugar cane doesn't harm you and doesn't do as much damage as you do when you bleach it and you make it into crystalline. It's like you crystallize it. So we have to understand, and like Brother Plump was saying, you know, plant-based is the truth. The plant medicine is the medicine of our mother. This is what grows in the forest. Is on the farm you see in nature and the farm you see in the urban area are two different places. The farm you see in urban areas is CVS, Walgreens, and those type of places that sell drugs that are made basically from plant-based, but they're all chemical.
Yes.
You go to the forest, you go to the farm, and you see nature's farm you see.
And that's where you want to be. You want to be
right.
In nature.
Right.
That all the time. You have got to get out in nature, because that's where the answers to all your issues are.
Well, that's why we said we need an overground railroad, because what's over us is the universe and the Milky Way. And that bends towards justice. And what we're dealing with a consciousness that we have the DNA that has recorded our time of existence with our universe. We just have to tap into ourselves. You are the one you've been waiting for. And what's being activated is that we're now in a space in this planet and solar system is in a space in the galaxy that the consciousness is so high and activated that the strands from six that we used to have, I mean, that they modified, now is going back to 12. And these are the consciousness that they're attempting to alter by the genes and by the artificial intelligence.
Did you hear that? That's wisdom from our elder, Baba Kwame Sunhorse in Georgia. And if you're looking at the screen, you will see the link that he sent me. This is on the NewYorker.com, Culture and Culture. But you see, this is a sister who made, her name is Carol Walker. Bleached Sugar Sphinx is triumphant, rising from a kind of half world. The shadowy half world of slavery and degradation. I'm going to put that on my blog, so even though you can't see it that well, I will put it on my blog so that you can see it. Naima says the video is not working. She's calling in from 312-849. Let's see if we can pull her up. There she is, 312-849. There she goes. Naima, you are with us. Naima, Latif, open your line, sweetie. 312-849. You're live, but we need to see, but we know you're not there. But I think your phone might be muted, Naima. And if you want to call, 515-605-9320. Oh, I have no audio. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, she has no audio. Okay, so let's try to get another call in here until she can work that out. 312-768. You're live on the Female Solution. Grand Rising, what's your name? Where are you calling? 312-768. Hi, who's this? Okay, some problems wherever you are, so let me go to the next call. And actually, the next call is our after show live producer, Naima Latif, who's in our car this morning.
Yes, yes, had to pull off the road. But so glad to join you all for this conversation on this Halloween day. And, you know, the interesting thing is that, like we said, you know, a lot of grown people are spending money with elaborate decorations. I've got some neighbors that have done it. And I think a lot of it, people want to do something festive. They do these things because they want to participate in something and feel like they can have fun and all that sort of thing. And I get that, you know. But the thing Beata said about the sugar situation, we live in a state of depression a lot of times, and drugs, such as what sugar is a way for us to try to get those endorphins flowing through our bloodstream that uplift us because we're always in a state of distress. And that's why people who go through various difficulties are more prone to addictive behavior, because they can't produce endorphins naturally. They come from just laughter, joy, fun. They're always under stress. And so they look for something to change their body chemistry so they can get that uplift. And that's why we're so prone to addiction, and sugar being one of the biggest addictors, that's why it's such a part of everything we do. But what we really need to do is detox, like it's been said, detox with a change of diet, more plant-based, you know, cut out the unnatural sugars, and that will help us detox from the physical addiction. And then we have to do the emotional work to get rid of the state of mind that makes us so addiction prone, the state of mind of constant stress and distress. And we've talked about it before. If you're constantly looking at things that upset you, you're looking at bad news on the news, you're looking at killings, carjacking, oppression, you know, police beatings, all these things that upset you all the time, this is partially what will add to your emotional distress that will make you prone to addiction and more likely to go and get that bowl of ice cream and piece of chocolate cake that I'm getting ready to go and eat right now. But you're more prone to that when you're always upset. And sometimes we do things that make us upset that's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. We get upset at other people's pain. So when you're watching bad news all the time, that lowers your vibration, which means it lowers your mood, makes you sad. And then you need a pick-me-up, which is what all the addictions are, everything from the alcohol to the drugs to the legal drug, which is sugar.
Yep.
And we have to do the work that changes our mood naturally. Laughter can produce endorphins that heal you, but people heal themselves of cancer from just laughing. So that means you gotta do things that bring you joy. And that means, like Mama Joy was talking about, getting to know your neighbors, planning those neighborhood events, those wholesome events for your children. Give them memories of happy times, wholesome games they can play. We have to do this, and it doesn't cost anything. Like you're saying, people spending hundreds of dollars on decoration, and folks, you know, trying to just get a meal for the day so they're not starving. You know, our priorities, because we're trying to compensate for our sadness, our priorities are twisted. So once you realize that this is what it is, and you can make the conscious choices to change,
Yes, we want joy. We want happiness. We want fun. And we can do all of that without being manipulated. And there's a lot of joy that comes from giving. I mean, you enjoy every Thursday or Friday, you know, going to help people. And that lifts you up. You'd be surprised how it will change your inner being by helping somebody else have some joy.
Mm-hmm.
It does. So giving is a good feeling. And it's good. Okay, the gift giving around Christmas time. I mean, all of these things were meant to be positive things and can be positive things. But we spend a lot of time trying to buy our way out of depression. And the things we buy are usually things that don't make any sense. They don't help anybody else. And they're things we've been programmed to buy because we've been suckered into the commercials that say, well, you got to buy this so people will love you. You got to, you know, buy this so you, you know, get a man or get a woman or whatever it is. Instead of looking at how can I spend money to help enhance someone else's life, and that will bring me joy, and that will give me the uplift I need, and it is not addictive to my body. It's going to make me sick where eventually I have to get a leg cut off or something. I mean, we have to think. First, we got to know that there's a programming that's happening on purpose to make us spend money for people who intend for us to keep spending money. And we have to be aware of that. And then we have to know our own needs. We do need to have a sense of community. We need to be around other people. We need to have fun. We need our children to feel safe and to have the kind of community life, whether it's in our religious community or our neighborhood or whatever it might be, their school community. They need to be. We are social people. We need those things, but we need to define what it is. Like Bob Kwame's saying, you know, if we're going to honor the ancestors, we can do fun things to honor the ancestors, dress like an ancestor, do all those things. We can create the traditions that we want to have, and we can define them. But we have to not let ourselves be manipulated into spending money lining somebody else's pockets that is not working in our best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to always know the history of things that we're doing so that we understand, you know, what is the commercial agenda behind a lot of these things? You know,
yeah.
Who's trying to get paid? And are they doing things that are helpful, or are they just exploiting us? And when we're conscious, then we can explain things to our children. Sometimes, you know, and it's hard, especially when they get to be teenagers, because they're very susceptible to peer pressure.
Yes.
But when we know the history of things, then we don't just sound like a lecturing parent that doesn't want them to have fun. We can explain why certain things are unhealthy, physically or emotionally or both, why certain things are unsafe, and why certain things should be avoided. We can explain it to them, and then we can give them alternatives. I know it's very difficult. My daughter, she grew up Muslim, and, you know, we wanted to make sure that we didn't make her feel isolated or like she was going to be denied little things like birthday parties. And some parents were like, oh, you know, we're Muslim. We don't believe in birthdays. If you can't go to a party, okay, I understand their intention by not wanting to take on other people's celebrations. But your child's only memory that they have, what impressed on their heart was, I couldn't have fun with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they received. They didn't receive any of the lessons that you wanted them to learn about. They don't imitate other people's traditions. They didn't understand any of that on the adult level that you might have understood it. So we also have a responsibility to let our children be children and enjoy childhood, because that's the foundation of your well-being in adulthood. When you did not have enough good memories as a child, then when something stressful happens to you as an adult, you cannot survive it emotionally. That's why they notice soldiers who have PTSD, they're the ones who couldn't draw from a good childhood memory when they were out there in the hell of war.
Mm.
You know, if you can go somewhere in your mind back to a time when you felt good, it's like resetting your computer. You know, if you've ever had your computer malfunction, you had to go back into history and reset it to, you know,
uh-huh.
a time when it was working.
Yep.
If you've ever had to do that, you understand the analogy.
Yep.
But you have to do the same thing. When you're going through a hellish experience and it's really traumatic, if you can go back to a time when there was joy and safety and peace and
happiness, you can survive that moment of hell that you're enduring. If you don't have anything to go back to, then you can't survive it. You're going to be traumatized, and you're not going to be able to come out of the trauma. So this is why childhood is so critical to our well-being. So we want our children to be able to be children and be able to have fun, but we also have to be aware that there are manipulating factors in our midst that will exploit our ignorance when it comes to our health and emotional well-being. So if we feel that there's something that our child wants to do and we don't think it's wholesome, then we have a responsibility to create something that's also fun but wholesome. You know, okay, invite the neighborhood children over to your house. That way you define the atmosphere of the party and the music you're listening to and all that stuff. But don't expect your child to not be a child and want to have fun and play with your friends and be social, because that's cruel. And I've seen a lot of people do that to their children, you know, religiously strict, both Muslims and Christians. I've seen them both do that to their children, and then their children were the ones that just broke wild when they went away to college because it was like, ah, freedom! And the parents didn't know, well, what happened? I mean, I shielded them from all this stuff. How did they go astray? Well, because you did not allow them to enjoy life, and they have to be able to enjoy life. And so all your religious strictness backfired. So this is why we can't be so dogmatic that we neglect the needs of a human being to enjoy life. But we do have a responsibility to understand the underlying manipulative factors when it comes to people trying to sell us things or people trying to pressure us, feel like you have to be part of this, or you know, you're not going to have fun. We have to define our tradition, define our celebrations, definitely define the food we're going to partake in, because, I mean, yeah, we all splurge every now and then, but if you know that your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents grew up on chitlins and you know, extreme, you know, with sugar water and everything else that would make you prone to diabetes, you know you have to be aware of what you're eating, because they've already laid the groundwork for diabetes to be a genetic trait. But you can reverse it, and you can still enjoy your food, but take the time to learn how to prepare healthy foods that are not laced with sugar, because you don't want to carry that tendency into the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a responsibility to know what we're doing every time we put something in our mouth and every time we put something in our mind.
And
could I speak to...
Yes, please, go right ahead.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
But what she's saying is very important, and the part of it is that we're teaching our children through even in putting them in public schools and schools, because that celebration is acknowledged there in the classroom, and they're taught that this is what this represents. And then you take them and you dress them up in costumes, and you say, go get something free that is going to make them addicted. It's like you were saying about the rainbow opioids or fentanyl. It's not free, but what you're doing is you entice them to get that taste and that feeling. And then once you get them enticed, then they're going to consume, because you introduce your child. You know, my daughter once told us when she got a little older, she says, Daddy, she said, yeah. She says, Mommy fed me breast milk. I said, yeah. And she said, and then y'all gave me baby food, which was strange, different vegetables and food. She said, but why did y'all give me meat?
Meat?
Why did we give her meat? Because she was trying to figure out all of this was vegetables and natural, and then you turn around and you start giving her, I started giving her chicken. And the part was she questioned that. because in her mind, this was more natural, the breast milk and the natural strain vegetables and fruits than consuming meat, and she's still vegan.
Smart lady. Well, look who her baba is, Kwame Sunhood. Come on now. You know the fruit don't fall far from the tree.
And you know the thing about it, if you raise your children on a certain diet, and you know they're going to go to people's houses that don't have those foods, sometimes you just have to be prepared. My daughter had, you know, good friends. She was growing up, and they were vegan. Now, we were not vegan. We were, as a matter of fact, at the time, we weren't 100% vegetarian. Matter of fact, my husband was never vegetarian. Her friends were total vegan, so they would come over for sleepovers and spend the night, and their parents just packed their own little lunches, and they ate their own food, and that was fine. You know, I didn't get to feel like, are you not going to eat my food? Because I understood. This is how they're raising their children with this specific diet. And so they can still come over and play and have fun and have a sleepover and everything and not violate their own dietary principles. And everybody had fun. So sometimes that's what you have to do whenever you, if you are raising your children to eat certain things or not eat certain things, that's fine. Don't say, well, you can't visit your friends and you can't be with anybody else because they don't eat like me. Well, no, just sometimes you've got to pack your own snacks and your own lunches or whatever. You know, but let them be with their friends. Let them enjoy life and not feel like they're isolated or drained or whatever, you know. Because children don't want to feel like they can't ever belong, you know. And even though you might even be in a family where your nuclear family, your spouse and your children, you're the only one practicing what you all are practicing out of your whole family. So whenever there's a family gathering, you know, okay, you all aren't eating the ribs on the grill, and you all aren't, you know, drinking the beer. Okay, that's okay, but that doesn't mean you can't be around your family. Like my husband and I, what we used to do, we go to family gatherings, and yeah, sometimes people drink. When people start drinking and we start getting tipsy, we know they're going to get ignorant. That's when we would leave. Mm-hmm. But we would still go, you know. So you have to have communities where you raise your children, and if they're participating in an activity, feel is not really wholesome, you can make. We'll come by and say hi. We'll, you know, talk to the relatives. Okay, now you all doing this thing that we don't do. Okay, well, you know, I'll see you later. It was good seeing you. I mean, it's okay, you know. We just have to always make decisions as to how we're going to teach our children to be in the world but not of the world. Because you can still enjoy life and not let it make you compromise your principles. Whether it's your dietary principles, your principles of character, you know, when you raise your children to be conscious that everybody is not conscious, then your children can have more of a self-confidence and a leadership role and even being influencing other people. So, you know, it's good to be able to explain to your child why you make the decisions that you make. You have a situation like today where we're being inundated with Halloween. We're being inundated with a celebration that, you know, and a lot of American celebrations, a little bit of mixtures of a lot of different things, a lot of European traditions and other, in many different countries in Europe. You know, stuff gets kind of all smushed together because, you know, that's kind of how America is. Everybody sort of throws in their little thing, and nobody really remembers what it is. And you know, we just want to have a party. I mean, I remember a friend of mine, we were talking about celebrations, and, you know, I think she was from Nigeria, and she said, you know, we got a lot of Christians, got the Muslims, and so we got the Christian celebration, got the Muslim celebration. But when I grew up, hey, it didn't matter. Whoever had the party, just go to the party. Oh, right. The Christians had a party. I can't do that. Oh, the Muslims had a party. I'll do that. So whatever the celebration, we just want to party. And that was kind of good, too, because, okay, the whole thing is community, joy, celebration of life.
children feel like they belong to a community. That's the goal that we want, to have a sense of community and reverence for the ancestors who came before us, a sense of purpose as to why we are here. And if every celebration can be a reflection of that, then we can make it be wholesome. We can make it be healthy. We can make it be sober. You know, we can make it be those things if we choose to. And then that way, we and our children can enjoy life and enjoy, and we can build a culture where we can enjoy life and enjoy it in a wholesome way.
And wholesome is the divine idea that we are looking for. You can find more wholesome activities on my blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com. There's the information that Baba Kwame Sunhorse sent me for the sugar art. And then Mama Joy just sent me something, too, for more sugar art. So you scroll down the page, you'll see it there. So just go to ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com. And the information will be there. It is 9:31. It is time to go. Yes, I want to thank you all so very much for participating in this conversation this morning. Be sure and share it with someone, because somebody somewhere needs to hear this. As I leave you with the promo, thank you, Baba Kwame Sunhorse, for your input as always. And I will leave you with the promo for the Female Solution. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning live with Jody Susan on the Female Solution on self-care.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And thank you for being a part of the solution here this morning on the Female Solution. As, excuse me, Beata says, I got to play this one. My two sons were deprived of a lot of sugar in their youth, but they have very strong immune systems as adult men. Yeah, that's because you didn't let them have it as a kid and grow up, rot all their teeth out and all their inner organs and all that good stuff, too. Thank you so much, Vianna. As I, excuse me, remind you that if you need a free consultation, how to release stress, you can always reach me during the week. I almost said 515-605, but that's not the number. It is 412-6419. Can't even remember the number. 312-409-6619. Stay on purpose. Stay empowered. Thank you, Naima. We appreciate you. And this is the last video that you will see for the day. And thank you for sharing the video.
Are you stressed out? Are you ready to learn some quick techniques on how to de-stress immediately? Then book your free 30-minute consultation with Zelda Speaks, the Mindfulness Stress Relief Coach, at higherlearningnetwork.org. Thanks for sharing.
That's all, folks.
You love the insurance.
I'm trying to stop it. It won't stop.
Easily, you can build one and quickly.
It don't want to stop. It does not want to stop.
About the tasks for your dentures?
I know what I can do, though.
There you go.
I can get rid of all of them. That's what I can do. All right, y'all. Be sure to check out the blog, ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com, and share it. You'll be glad to do it. Thank you for sharing. Namaste. Hotel. Peace. Shalom. And as Deborah used to say, love, peace, and hair grease. Did I sign up?
The blog talk good.
Oh, yeah. Let me cut that off. Where is it at? In show. Duh. In call.